Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. You're changing the intro up. Well, because you were giving me so much guff last week.
Yeah, that's true.
That I do the same thing all the time. So
if you're a regular listener to the show, Dave says the same thing on the intro and the outro every week.
Well, you know, it's like our intro.
Yeah. And so last week I interrupted him and was making fun of him for it. So this week you shook it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there's really not much you can do with it. So,
well, you could be like this. What's up?
What's up?
Good morning, Truth Revolution. Anyway, we're talking about Christmas today and why we shouldn't celebrate it.
What?
That's right. I've got over 100 reasons right here.
What are you saying, Jeff?
Well, we celebrate Christmas. You and I do. We at Revolution Church do.
But you out there shouldn't, because we want to have total exclusivity to it?
No. I found an article. And a lot of times what we do on this show, we like science, we like math, we like reasons. Mm-hmm. We go and we pick up atheist articles and we say, hey, here's what the atheist says, why you shouldn't be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And we pick apart the reasons and say why Christianity is reasonable. Well, this time I found an article by a very fundamentalist Christian.
Oh, so we're going the other way.
Going the other direction. Mm-hmm. This guy says it's evil for Christians to celebrate Christmas.
Oh.
And he gives over 100 reasons why.
Think about the kids.
Won't someone think about the kids? Don't give them presents. So we're going to pick this apart.
All right.
Is God against Christmas trees? Is God against Christmas? Actually, this anti-website claims that we shouldn't celebrate it. Like, it's dishonoring to God when we celebrate Christmas. So we're gonna come back. We're gonna make our main point at the very end about why we think it's okay to celebrate Christmas.
Okay,
but we're gonna go through this and show why we think he's wrong. Why we think it's okay to celebrate Christmas. So if you've ever had someone say you shouldn't celebrate Christmas, or if you've ever had problems with Christmas, maybe this is a good show for you.
Right.
So let's go ahead and jump into this. We don't celebrate Christmas because
the Lord.
Oh, wait, you know what?
What? Did you interrupt me? He interrupted me.
I'm so sorry I interrupted you. You're worth more than that. But this is also a good show if you just want to know how to read the Bible better.
Okay.
Because each objection that this guy has, he puts a Bible verse with it. Mm-hmm. He says we shouldn't celebrate Christmas because this reason and a Bible verse. And we're going to We're going to exegete, which means to pull the truth out of the text.
Right.
Eisegete means you have an idea. You put that idea onto the Bible, and so you read it the wrong way.
Right.
And I think this guy is eisegeting. So what this is going to do is not going to talk about Christmas. It's going to talk about how you read the Bible the right way.
Awesome.
So that's the biggest.
So Dave's going to learn something today. I mean, I know how to read the Bible, but, I've never really dealt with the why shouldn't we celebrate Christmas thing. So.
Yeah. So, all right. The first reason we don't celebrate Christmas.
All right. Deuteronomy 12:29-31 says the Lord condemns using pagan religious practices in his worship.
Okay.
That's true.
God doesn't want us to use pagan religious practices. So Dave, what do these verses say?
All right. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kind of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fires as sacrifices to their gods.
Okay, so this verse clearly says to the Israelites, when they go to this other nation, they should not, even though they're worshiping the real God, they shouldn't do it in the way the other nation worships the real God.
It's like the opposite of when in Rome, because actually it won't be the place you're going into. They are turning it into their own place.
That's right. So when in Canaan, don't be like the Canaanites.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's the deal. This guy who quotes this verse, he's right that God does not want us to adopt the practices of the people around us.
Don't do it.
But it's not just that. God tells us a why. There's a because in this verse, and a very important because, right? Whenever you read the Bible, we use our cracked acronym. The A stands for
author's intent.
You want to know the author's intention, what the guy who made this rule is getting at. Mm-hmm. Okay. If I say don't break the speed limit, because if you go faster than the speed limit, your car will explode. Okay, then nobody's going over the speed limit.
Right.
But if I say don't break the speed limit because it's safer to drive slower, well, if you're having, you know, someone's having a heart attack and they're in your car, mm-hmm. you're going to probably go over the speed limit because it's safer to get them to the hospital quicker.
Yeah, you get them into the hospital in an exploding car.
You want to know the intention behind the rule. Okay, so what's the intention? God says, don't worship me in the same way the other nations do, because
they do detestable things.
Yes. This is verse 31. Because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. Mm-hmm. So they even burn their sons and daughters in fire as sacrifices.
Right.
This isn't saying you can't ever take an idea from another culture. That's not what this is saying. This is saying when the culture has things that God considers detestable, do not do it, even if everyone around you is doing it.
Right.
So in celebrating Christmas, even though lots of other people are celebrating it with us, all we have to do is say, as followers of Jesus, we want to make sure we celebrate this in a way that is honoring to God.
Right.
And not, I'll give the guy half credit. We don't want to adopt every practice from the culture around us.
Right.
If we make the celebration of Christmas a materialistic, mm-hmm. selfish nightmare,
right.
that's not honoring to God in any way.
Right. Black Friday, anybody? So, you know, people killing themselves over buying stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Although, you know, I have a theory on that.
Okay.
I have a theory that Black Friday isn't so bad as people think so. What my guess is...
Have you ever been to one?
Dude, yes, I have. Not for a long time. It's been years, but I don't go out on Black Friday. I don't buy anything on Black Friday because I save money on Black Friday by not buying things.
Exactly.
But years ago when I went, it wasn't crazy wherever I was. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, but it wasn't crazy. I have a theory. This is just my theory that the news media knows, you know, the two or three or four places in the entire country that's going to be a little crazy. And, you know, they videotape or talk about those three or four places.
Right.
And if they were to, you know, videotape or talk about the 20,000 other places, it'd be like, okay, people were in line. Okay, there was a lot of people.
Right. Well, all the Black Fridays I've been to haven't been violent. They've just been
crowded.
Crowded and boring.
All right, let's go back to this. Another reason we shouldn't celebrate Christmas.
All right, the Lord condemns adding or taking away from his commandments, Deuteronomy 12:32.
All right, what's it say here?
See that you do all I command you, do not add to it or take away from it.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 12:32.
God says do everything God says, then don't add to what he says.
Right.
Don't take away from what he says. So this guy's saying that by celebrating Christmas, we're taking what God has told us to do, but then we're adding stuff to it.
Okay.
Here's why do you think he's incorrect on this?
Well, I mean, I don't think the spirit of what God is trying to say is don't be an individual. I don't think that's what God is saying, because here's the thing. We do what we do and then we add our own personal flair to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. My family may celebrate Christmas different than your family does. And I don't know whether that really makes much of a difference in this context, but it almost seems like this is a really hardline stance to take on. To me, it just doesn't make... I don't read that into this. You know what I mean?
See, what I think he's trying to say is you've got all of God's rules, right? Don't murder, worship God only. Right. And what we're doing is we're adding celebrate Christmas.
Oh, as like a commandment.
As like another thing we have to do. And I think where he goes wrong is that this isn't a commandment. We're not treating this as a commandment. Like the Pharisees, what did they do? Right.
Oh yeah, they added rules upon rules upon rules to make sure they didn't break the commandments.
Exactly. So God said, don't work on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees said, okay, that means you can't even walk more than 700 steps. You can't even do this. You can't do that. They added rules just like God said not to do. Well, we're not making a rule you have to celebrate Christmas. We're just going, man, this is just another great day to worship God.
Absolutely.
So that I think that's why this doesn't apply. All right, the next one. And just read the title. We'll read those verses one at a time.
Okay. The Lord hates religion that goes under green trees.
What? God hates religion that goes under green trees?
That's what he says.
Well, he's... Okay, 1 Kings 14. What's it say?
Says they also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading or green tree.
Okay. God hates it when they do stuff under green trees. What about Isaiah 57?
Isaiah 57 says, you burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading or green tree.
Ooh. And what about Jeremiah 3? Does God hate Christmas trees?
Jeremiah says, during the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading or green tree and has committed adultery there.
Okay, this is definitely talking about green trees. Mm-hmm. But what is God's... Okay, in our cracked acronym, the D for dialect, right? Sometimes God, sometimes everyone uses exaggeration. You use colloquialisms. Mm-hmm. You're using metaphors. So what is God saying? If I say to you, man, you've told lies under every roof in this city.
Yeah, I haven't been under every roof in this city.
Right, but my point is... Mm-hmm. You tell lies all the time,
right?
And I'm sick of it. Do I have a problem with your lies or do I have a problem with roofs?
With the lies.
Exactly.
I'm going to go out on a limb there of a tree.
Right. I have a problem with your lies. I don't have a problem with roofs by saying that you lie under every roof in this house or every roof in the city. And when God says they commit adultery under every green tree, or when God says they worship false gods under every green tree, he doesn't have a problem with green trees. He has a problem with committing adultery.
Right. It's the act. You know, it's like, so if I commit adultery out in the open, it's okay.
Right. Yeah, this guy's like, God hates green trees, man. If they had only committed adultery under blue skies, it would have been totally legit. No, I mean, the problem, God is just saying, you're doing this everywhere, man. It makes me mad because you're just, everywhere you go, you're doing this. All right, the next reason that God hates Christmas.
The Lord condemns the heathen use of decorated trees at a solstice.
Another one, another anti-Christmas tree verse.
Decorated
tree. Oh, decorated
this
trees.
This is like Christmas tree plus.
This is right at the Christmas tree.
Yeah, exactly. So Jeremiah 10, 2 through 4 says, this is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the heavens, though the nations are terrified by them. For the practices of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest and a craftsman shapes it with a chisel.
Uh-oh.
They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so it will not totter.
Oh, no.
Wow.
That sounds exactly like a Christmas tree.
It does.
The only problem is if you read the context.
Oh, there's context.
He's talking about making an idol.
Well, I was going to say, I've never taken a tree. We've actually cut down a tree and put it in the house back when I was a kid. Never touched it with a hammer and chisel. So I was kind of wondering.
It's very literal.
Yeah.
They adorn it with silver and gold. So we just use blue lights. So as long as it's not silver or gold, you're golden.
Okay.
Right. See, this is the problem when you take these verses super literal. Mm-hmm. You start doing things like we just did, right? Well, as long as I didn't chisel it, it's fine. As long as I didn't put gold on it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Now, look, the point is, don't worship idols. Don't take something that God made and worship it. Worship God only.
Yeah, this absolutely. Do not bow down to a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Okay. Legit, if someone was like, I'm going to worship my Christmas tree.
Right. Some people do, actually, because it's a big deal. I mean, you know what I mean? They got these competitions and stuff like that. They spend so much time on it. And I would say maybe the time that we spend decorating a tree, you know, what is in your heart when you do that? You know what I mean? Hmm. And I think that's really important because if it's all about the tree, then there's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just don't make it all about the tree.
Did you say they have contests?
They do. People have contests about decorating trees.
I didn't know that.
They do.
If you read the context of Jeremiah 10, it goes on in verse 5 says, like a scarecrow in a cucumber field, their idols cannot speak. Just so you know, this really is talking about idols. This isn't talking about trees. Although if this guy's going to take this seriously and anything the Bible mentions is bad, then scarecrows are evil.
Right.
And cucumbers are evil. Right. I hope he doesn't eat salads.
There you go. Well, it'd be a very boring salad. Anyway.
All right. Let's, you know, we're just about out of time here. Let's jump down to this one at the bottom of page 4.
Okay. It says,
the Lord condemns turning to the left or right from his commandments.
That's true.
Deuteronomy 5 says,
so be careful what you do with the Lord your God what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess.
We agree with 100% with that verse.
Absolutely.
But that says nothing about Christmas.
Nope.
It just says obey God. He's assuming that God doesn't like Christmas, and so he thinks this verse is anti-Christmas.
Right.
But that's not. That's just like way out of there. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Hey, we're going to be right back. But you need to come to church on Christmas Eve.
Absolutely.
We're going to have four service times to get to Revo.church. That's R-E-V-O.church. What's the website again, Dave?
R-E-V-O.church.
And you can click on the little Christmas picture and find out more about what our Christmas services are.
Amen.
You can come out this Sunday, too. We'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
R-E-V-O.church. That's Revo.church. Hey, we'll be right back talking about more reasons you shouldn't celebrate Christmas. Come out to Revolution Church's rocking glow light Christmas Eve service.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Revolution Church is actually here for people who haven't been to church in a long time or ever.
And there's no dress code.
Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Want more info? www.revo.church or check us out on Facebook.
On Christmas Eve, we have four services for you to choose from. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 5:30 p.m., or 7 p.m.
And all of them have great kids programs too.
That's online at revo.church or look us up on Facebook.
revo.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org. Join Revolution Church on Christmas Eve, morning or evening. We'll have four service times to choose from.
And here's how it's going to go down.
We'll play four Christmas songs, but in modern rock or pop.
With some rap.
And everyone gets a glow light, kind of like a candlelight service, but less flammable.
Right. Then the kids are going to have a special kids program in the kids area. They're going to have tons of fun, snacks, and the Christmas story.
The adults will stay where they're at and listen to a funny, practical, biblical, and engaging teaching by Pastor Jeff.
So come on out. You can even preview what our services are like online.
That's online at revo.church.
R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
The Bible contains hundreds of prophecies, and these prophecies verify the truth of our scriptures.
Of course, many holy books claim to have prophecies.
The question is, are they all really prophecies?
In the Bible, Psalm 22:16 says the Messiah would have hands and feet that are pierced.
That's pretty specific.
Compare that to the Quran. In Surah 32, it predicts this: the Romans will be defeated.
Not very specific. Everyone is defeated at some point.
Another Bible prophecy comes from Malachi 3:1.
It says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come.
Pretty clear there will be a messenger before the Messiah, and then the Messiah will come soon.
Compare that to the Hindu prophecy, which says, petty-minded people will conduct business transactions and merchants will be dishonest.
Ooh, how did they know?
Yeah, not very specific.
It's easy to say that all religions have prophecies, but only the Bible has detailed far in the future predictions.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And welcome to the second half of the show.
The anti-Christmas spectacular.
That's Jeff's show. Not me. I'm totally pro-Christmas.
All right. We're answering an article. If you're just joining us, we're answering an article that this guy made saying why Christians shouldn't celebrate Christmas. And we're showing why he's interpreting the Bible the wrong way.
Right.
All right. Let's do this one, Dave.
All right.
The one we skipped.
The one we skipped?
On page three.
On page three?
The bottom of it.
The bottom. The Lord commands us to separate from and not touch the pagan religion.
That's okay.
2 Corinthians 6.
And he's suggesting that Christmas has some pagan origins, which it does.
Yeah, but it's not what he thinks it is.
No, no. I mean, there was a pagan celebration on December 25th to worship a false god. Christians set up worshiping Jesus and celebrating his birth on that day to contrast worshiping the false god. They said, you worship your false god on that day. We're going to worship the real God on this day. And so there are some pagan origins, but it's Christianity won. Christianity beat the false god. I bet most of you don't, unless you've researched it, don't even know the name of the false god who was worshiped on that day.
Right. I do. If you listened to the show last week, you know.
That's right. You should have. So you all should know.
Right.
All right. But let's read this verse that he quotes.
He says, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?
What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord.
Continues, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. So if you touch something unclean, he won't receive you. Now, that's right. A quote from the Old Testament referencing back there. But the problem when you have verses like this, and then you have someone like this guy who's using this verse as a way to say you shouldn't do Christmas. If he tells you Christmas was started as a pagan holiday and the Bible says there is no agreement between the temple of God and idols, you can't have anything to do with it. What you're doing is it's called eisegesis, where right. You take your idea and you put it on the verse.
Absolutely.
He is taking his idea about Christmas and he's thinking, I don't think people should worship Christmas. So when he reads this, he applies it to Christmas. But what is this really talking about? Well, the next verse says, therefore, okay, because God wants you to be holy, because God doesn't want you to mix with anything unholy, because of that, verse chapter 7, verse 1 says, therefore,
since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God.
Out of reverence for God. This is about having reverence for God.
Absolutely.
This isn't about not having a Christmas. This is about saying God is the only one true God, right? I worship the Lord God and serve him only, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe in Jesus. I believe he lived, died, and rose from the dead. This has nothing to do with Christmas.
Right.
This is only about reverencing God. So anyway, let's go to the next one.
All right. The Lord commands us to come out of Roman Catholicism and her sins.
Whoa. He's saying this is a reason we shouldn't celebrate Christmas.
Kind of strange.
Okay. There's a couple things we're going to have to tackle here. First, he's obviously trying to imply that Roman Catholicism is the reason Christians do Christmas.
Okay.
Let's just say that's true for argument's sake. Let's just say that's true. I don't think that's totally true, but let's just say it's true.
All right.
Revelation 18:4 is why he says we have to come out of Roman Catholicism and her sins.
All right. Then I heard another voice from the heavens say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues.
Okay. He obviously believes that the Roman church is this evil group in the book of Revelation.
Okay.
Okay. So he believes that. I don't believe that. I don't think that's what it is.
He's eisegeting again.
Right. We're not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there are Catholics who are going to heaven, right? I believe there's some Catholics who know the real Jesus. However, I do think there are some serious theological problems with the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
The way they reverence and ask saints to pray for them is a major problem. There's a bunch of the way they handle the teaching of Christ paying for our sin and the way they deal with having to confess your sin, the way they handle purgatory and how they don't think Christ was sufficient to pay everything. Mm-hmm. Lots of big problems, but I think there are people who can be saved in it. But
absolutely.
The Revelation 18:4, this is not about the Catholic Church. Can we disagree with someone and still like them?
Absolutely.
Can we disagree with someone and still say they're going to heaven?
Absolutely. Can I disagree with you all the time.
Yeah, totally.
He's going to hell. I'm just kidding.
Revelation is not about the Catholic Church. Okay. I want you to, this Revelation 18 says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, mm-hmm. so you'll not share in her sins, so you'll not receive any of the plagues. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about when Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem, this is Luke 21, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judah must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. He's saying this happened in AD 70.
Right.
Right? The city was sacked. Jerusalem was sacked by armies. Jesus said, if you're one of my followers, get the heck out of there.
Right.
Right? Get out so you don't share in the sins and so you don't share in the plagues. This was fulfilled already. This is not about Roman church. Anyway. All right. The next reason not to celebrate Christmas. Right.
The Lord told the apostles to teach us to observe only his commandments.
Only supposed to observe God's commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Matthew 28 is where he gets this from.
Okay. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Okay. Okay, this does say we're supposed to go and teach people to obey God. Mm-hmm. Does this say that they can only obey God?
Well, but it says teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Does it say only everything
No, it doesn't.
No, I mean, look, I wonder if the guy who wrote this has a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's saying, I must
only do what my boss tells me to do and nothing more.
No, it would be the opposite. If he's saying, because he's saying we're only supposed to do things that God commands us to do. If someone else commands us to do it, we're not supposed to do it.
Right. That's actually what I was trying to say.
Oh.
But I must have said it wrong.
Oh.
Maybe, In my mind, it sounded right.
Right. So if his boss says, hey, will you go put copier paper in the copier? He would say, I cannot because I only obey God.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's stupid.
Right.
That's stupid.
Absolutely.
You don't only obey God. You obey God as the highest authority, but you don't only obey God. And how he got no chrisms out of this is somewhat of a mystery. All right, let's...
Kind of twisted.
Let's answer... kind of twisted? Mm. Just a little bit. Let's answer a Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction. Today brought to you by Freedom From Religion Foundation. Genesis 7:15 says, and they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. However, Genesis 7:2 says, of every clean beast thou shalt take to three by sevens, the male and female.
Take to thee by sevens.
Take to thee by sevens. There you go. That makes a lot more sense. Thanks.
Yeah.
And of the beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female. So
do you take two animals
or seven?
Which one is it?
Yeah.
When Noah was building the ark, God told him to get animals. Of course, everybody knows the traditional story. Bring two of every animal, two kangaroo, two donkey, two whatever. Well, if you read this, and I would like to, okay, this is from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they people who have problems with Bible contradictions do this a lot. First of all, the second C in our acronym stands for credibility.
Right.
Okay, don't assume that someone who wrote something very serious is so stupid that they would contradict themselves in one paragraph. Right? This is chapter 7, verse 2 and chapter 7, verse 15.
Right.
So he probably didn't write, all right, take seven creatures, and then a few verses later go, duh, what did I say?
Right. Only take two.
Take two.
Never mind.
Right? That's not how this happened.
Right.
He's not that dumb. But also, if you take our cracked acronym, the D for dialect, how is he talking here? Well, he's using colloquial language. So in verse 2, he says, when you have a clean animal, because they separated animal into clean versus unclean. Right. When you have a clean animal, take seven of them. Seven of them.
Right.
Okay. Of the male and the female. And then beasts that are not clean, you are supposed to take
two.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody knows the 2x2 because that's really easy to draw pictures of.
Right.
And it's really easy to tell.
I gotta draw this giraffe again.
Exactly. And you're telling the Noah story to your children, right? Mm-hmm. There was two penguins and two bears and two ducks.
Yeah.
Do you want to be like, well, there was two cows and there was two pigs because they were unclean. However, there were seven donkeys and there were, whatever it was. I mean, do you want to explain this all to them? No, you just tell the simple story. So if you think this is a contradiction, it's because you grew up with a child story and you didn't read the actual Bible and you forgot that when they said, take seven and then take two. And later on when they went, and they went into the ark, all the pairs. That's not contradiction. You're just speaking colloquially.
Mm-hmm.
I could say, I have seven kids. And last month I had six kids. And next month I'll have 12 kids, right? Because I do foster care. It goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But if I said to you, we put all 50,000 of our kids in the van.
You got a lot of kids.
You wouldn't be like, Jeff, you just contradicted yourself. You'd be like, you're just giving me a number. You're just getting to the point.
Right. Either that or you've got a really big van.
I do have a really big van.
It is.
That's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right.
Another reason to not celebrate Christmas.
All right. Well, I lost my place. I'm sorry.
We're on page 5, Dave.
That's where I'm at. Okay.
Top.
All right, the top. The Lord rejected David's worship of for a small detail and killed Uzziah.
All right. So is this true? Well, it is true. In 2 Samuel, Uzzah touched the ark of God, and God killed him for it.
Yes.
Because he didn't have reverence for God. This isn't saying no Christmas.
Just saying have reverence for God.
Have reverence for God.
Right.
Look, our take on Christmas comes from Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival.
Ooh.
Do not let someone judge you with regards to a religious festival. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. So if our goal is Christmas, 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 right, then we're doing it wrong. Mm. But if our goal is Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, then we're doing it right.
Absolutely.
So as long as you're focused on Jesus Christ and not being materialistic and selfish and you just obsess about the holiday and not Jesus, but you really put your focus on the true one, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, you'll be all right.
Do it right.
Come on out to Revolution.